Every Thursday, we get a chance to check in with our mental strength coach, BYU professor of sports psychology, Dr. Craig Manning. You can reach him. You can find more information, as much as you want, on his programs and seminars. www.thefearlessmind.com and thefearlessmind.guru. Dr. Manning, welcome again. I appreciate your joining us here on the Morning Drive.
Thanks, Tom. Appreciate it.
As we discussed, two different minds. Let's start with Draymond Green. I guess, you know, that's the elephant on the couch. Going into this, you know, he's, you know, I'm wondering about the future, which we can't, you know, we don't have time to really get into that. But at some point, the organization and Draymond's going to have to address. The only thing wrong with his game is that he becomes too intense or too involved or too selfish or however you want to couch it. But he's got to find a way to tone down some of the expressions of his frustration or of his anger or whatever, because you can't be a key piece and miss an NBA Finals game. But for him coming back tonight, what would be, you think, a healthy approach for him? I mean, you know, you got to figure, like, he's okay, that the teammates are okay. They know who he is and what he is. But, you know, you got to feel bad for what happened in Game 5. You got to kind of feel that's on you. But how do you tuck that sort of in your pocket and go out and just compete tonight and bring everything that they missed in Game 5?
Yeah, it's interesting. I look back to the Chicago Bulls and they had Dennis Rodman, and Michael Jordan was always trying to keep Dennis Rodman in check. You know, I feel like there's some, but I feel like the great teams have somebody like him. They have that guy that he's their energizer at times, even though Curry and the others bring energy, but he brings that passion and that commitment. I'm trying to think, if I'm on that team with the Warriors and Draymond Green is on that team, I better not slack off and I better not lose my focus. And I'm thinking, I better be dialed in all the time, because this guy is not going to tolerate any of that. So, Tom, I have to wonder, whether do we all need a Draymond Green on our teams in order to really get to that highest level? You know, I think actually it was a friend of mine once said that pretty influential individual. He said, every team can handle one Maverick.
Yeah.
It's when you have two Mavericks that there's problems. But every team can have one Maverick. I'm actually wondering whether every team needs a Maverick.
Right. Well, it's interesting. You know, you look at this Jazz team. Remember a conversation I had with Jeff Hornacek several years ago when he was just the shooting coach? And he said, you know, we got a bunch of nice guys on this team. Maybe we're too nice. And he just said it was just a comment he made on the sidelines. And, you know, Jazz Nation, they love their guys, and these are all upstanding community guys, and that is important. But I agree. I think you need to have the dissenting voice. You need to have a guy who's going to, you know, rattle some chains and maybe make it a little bit uncomfortable for people, because, you know, you don't want a team of all like personalities.
And see, for me, if I, you know, try to not go outside my realms of responsibility here, but from a psychological standpoint, I think Draymond Green, he brings emotion, he brings energy, he brings passion, he brings at times that energy can be channeled in a negative way, and they have to reel him back in. I remember a little bit back in the regular season, he had a blow up in the locker room, and I guess people out in the hall could hear him cussing. It was that loud. But you know, I wonder psychologically whether Draymond Green may be the actual key to that whole organization there, because he brings that passion and that determination, that absolute will to succeed and be successful. And for the most part, he channels it in a pretty constructive and I don't know if I'd say positive, but constructive way,
right,
for the most part. And like you said, I you know, I love the Jazz. I was listening to what you're saying about the Jazz. I love the Jazz. You got a bunch of nice guys in that team. You got Dante, Gordon Hayward. You got all these nice guys on the team. You don't want to change that, but I want to win this year. I don't know,
right,
about you. I love the team, but I want to win this year. You know, it's great to be nice and support the guys because they're good guys, but I want to win, you know?
Yeah, you know, you need the guy, the energizer, the agitator, a guy who's going to, you know, make other teams and your team uncomfortable from time to time. And, you know, I look at what the Warriors did in Game 5, and, you know, I've been trying to hang it on a lot of things, and I just got to say, maybe it was Draymond Green's, you know, his nightly presence that does get them where they need to be emotionally and you know, physically, yeah, because I just thought they were, how could you come out in a clinching game with all that's going on, you're down a great player, and not be locked on defensively? Defense is where you actually can affect it with just effort. You know, they gave up 60 points at half and 90 in three quarters. That's not good.
Yeah. I just love the energy he brings. And I think we often, from a psychological, again, standpoint, we underestimate how important it is just to bring. We got to bring that energy. Energy, I'm not big on the whole positive, being positive sort of thing. I'm big on, you know, action. Can do mindset. You got to do it. But energy is definitely positive or negative. And he brings energy. And I think that is incredibly valuable. You know, I would even say, if you don't mind me going here for a minute, I don't think we have to be a bad guy or anything or get into trouble or be off being bad role models to do this. You know, on the BYU football team, I'm super looking forward to having Taysom Hill back on that and bringing his presence. What his role is, you know, is not my decision there, but his presence, he brings a energy that we're here to win. And we don't back down anyone. And yeah, we're good guys and we're nice guys, but you know, don't mess with us. We're not intimidated by Texas or anybody. And I think that is just incredibly valuable to any organization, whether in athletics and business in any area, just having that mentality that, you know, we're not backing down anyone. We got this.
Yeah, it's so important. And you look at how championship teams are constructed, and it's so much, you know, equally to do with balancing, you know, the mindsets and the motivators and the agitators and all that. Yeah, you need talent, but you got to have a nice combination of, you know, people who, you know, sometimes it's okay to lose it a little bit. And like I've seen coaches, you know, it's sometimes coaches just want to change the energy. They'll go out and, you know, remember in Hoosiers, you know, throw me out. What? Throw me out. Okay. You know,
yeah.
You just got to change. You got to shake it up a little. And I think that's what you're getting to, that it needs to be more than just an accident or more than just a happenstance. You have to have a guy, if that's what it is, to do that. And it's hard do it 82 games.
You know, I got to tell you this. When I was coaching tennis, we had a nemesis that, and I won't tell you who it is, but we had a team.
Oh, come on. Go ahead.
But UNLV was our nemesis, man. They were just brutal. We'd go down there, and it was always just a battle. I mean, there was bad calls going on, maybe from both sides. It was just bad. And it would just bother me. And I would sit the girls aside before each time we play UNLV each year, and I say, "Girls, we're not playing tennis today." And they'd look at me, the freshmen look at me, and I said, "Today, we go to war today." And I'm a pretty positive guy, and I'm always uplifting, but the first bad call, you're going to see me, I'm going to blow up, and I'm going to blow up, and I just want you to know ahead of time, I'm going to blow up, I'm going to yell, I'm going to kick the garbage can, because I'm trying to intimidate the umpires to make calls.
That's
and
great.
I'm trying to intimidate people to try to play this game fair. And I would do it, and the girls would start laughing, and it would just bring this energy. It would bring energy that was fun and positive, and you know, we beat them 21 straight matches. We beat that team, but it was a war, and we had to match their energy. We had to trump their energy, and that was what I was always trying to do with them.
What are you looking at tonight? I know you like to study LeBron James and you know the other guy, his counterpart Steph Curry, and you know Klay Thompson's in there, and Kyrie certainly too. But you know the two guys who kind of make their teams go in terms of just overall talent, LeBron and Steph. Steph coming off what people are saying was a bad game. I looked at the numbers. It wasn't that bad. And LeBron coming off, I don't know if he can play any better, he and Kyrie. I don't know what more they can do, and yet, you know, they got to find a way to try to get better because the Warriors are going to have their guy with them.
You know, I really felt like the Cavaliers for the first game this series played their game. I felt like they were, from what it looked like to me, they were very proactive. They were moving forward. They were attacking. Whereas I felt like they've been extremely reactive in this series and waiting for Klay and Steph. And I felt like there's been key moments in every one of these games in the fourth quarter, where even the first game, which ended up being a blowout, but the Cavaliers got it back to 3 points, if you remember, and then Klay and Steph hit back-to-back three-pointers. And that just psychologically put you into panic mode when you were too worried about that. But I was super impressed with this game. Goes down the wire. Klay hits a three-pointer. LeBron comes back, three-point play, drives, scores, gets fouled. Very next play, Steph hits a three-pointer. come right back down. I think my memory's not perfect here, but LeBron hit a step back three-pointer, and I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
That is the first time I've seen all series when Clay and Steph hit big-time three-pointers at the stretch down the fourth that the opposing team doesn't panic and lose their focus. And that was the first time, I think, including the Thunder series, that that somebody stayed focused on what they were doing and not worrying about the Warriors. If they could do that again, if they could stay focused on their game and execute their game, I think this is going to be close. I don't think this will be a 30-point blowout if we can, if both teams stay focused on executing their own plays. It will be fun to see who makes the last shot.
Yeah, I'm curious. You know, LeBron was Draymond Green free. Draymond wasn't around to, you know, bang him and irritate and sort of get up in him a little bit. Whatever it took per possession, LeBron could, you know, he just looked free. Maybe that was, you know, maybe it had nothing to do with Draymond Green not being there. But now they're home, and really the pressure is kind of back on the Cavs because they're, you know, you'd think they're supposed to win tonight. But I think, and I don't know, I've been wrong a lot, but I think you'll see the full force of the Warriors. I expect they'll play the best game of the finals tonight. You know, they've had a hiccup. Draymond's back. They probably feel like I did, it should have been over in five. I don't think there's any question who the better team is, but you lose game six and you go to seven. Now that it blurs a little bit all of a sudden, you know?
Yeah, it's just knowing the Warriors' mindset there and the coaching staff, and the history tells us Steve Kerr and his staff will get the guys in a very focused, a very positive energy. I wouldn't say necessarily calm, but a very focused, dialed in mindset, and I think they're going to come out all guns blazing. And you know, you never know. Obviously, that's why we play the games. But yeah, I'm with you. I would be surprised if the Warriors don't come out and play one of their better games that we've seen this series. So yeah, it'll be interesting.
Yeah, for sure. I wanted to pivot here and talk about. I know you've worked in, and again, this is an area where you have relationships and confidentialities you have to that you have to respect. We respect that here. Whatever you can or can't tell us. I know you work with. Obviously, you've told us before you've worked with Kyle Collinsworth a lot and his wife, Shea Martinez Collinsworth, coming off an absolutely crushing effort in the NCAAs, third in the 800 meters with personal records and looking like, you know, Olympics are not too far, would not be a far horizon for her. You've had an opportunity to work with both in at least, passing, maybe more, whatever you can tell us. But to me, you can't have a more mentally tough couple, I would imagine. It's got to be a little bit intimidating for you. What do you tell them?
Yeah, I know. I need to be a little bit careful. Kyle has been open about how much I work with him there. But, wow, yeah, just the power couple. You know, it's interesting. They're such incredibly, how would I say this, incredibly high-performing human beings. It's it's not just... you know, I heard a report the other day, somebody was saying, I just trying to be careful what I say here.
You know, I understand. Yeah, I don't want to put you in a bad spot. Yeah. I know you have confidentialities you have to respect. So whatever you can't tell us, I understand.
Just here's what I can say is, man, just both of them incredibly tough mentally. They work so hard on the little details and just the quality of human beings they are. And I think that is the intangibles. And just to see, I know for a fact that Shay's goal was a 202. She'd worked all year towards it. She, again, like her husband, is extremely hard worker and set all these goals, worked at them, and then to actually hit the goal at the biggest moment, to be a personal best at the biggest moment, to peak when you really want to peak. I just admire teams and athletes that can get it done in the biggest moments of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
That, to me, is just really big mental toughness. I think that's incredibly hard to do, to taper, to get the timing right,
to
get your energy right at the right time, just to bring everything together and perform your best in the biggest moment of your life. I just admire that. And I know she finished third. She didn't win a national championship, but that is what success is. That is what winning is. Winning is hitting your goals. Winning isn't always coming first. Winning is achieving your goals. And her goal was a 202, and she hit it. She hit it in the biggest moment of her career. And I just, you know, good job. I think that is just incredibly mentally tough and super happy that BYU athletes are having a good year, you know.
Oh, what a year.
And I'm glad that she's getting, I'm glad that she's getting some recognition for that, because I really like the track athletes a lot. I mean, they're the ultimate athlete. They really are just, they don't really have a tennis racket in their hand. They don't have a ball in their hands. It's just them and their body. And mm-hmm. I'm just super impressed, you know?
Yeah, and for her and for athletes like her, when you figured out the mental part, and this is where you got to feel, take credit or feel comfortable or feel really a part of any of those successes. And you don't want, obviously, you know, you're not doing it, but it is a big piece when an athlete doesn't have to, when they go into their competition knowing that their approach is bang on and it's just about competing now. That's a huge, that's freedom, isn't it? If you're not wondering, gee, did I prepare right? Is my mindset right? Because you have some athletes who are questioning right up to the time that it's time to perform.
Yeah, I love it. I love what you're saying there. Yeah, the athletes, I love it. It's that old, I know this shows my age, but the old A-Team show with Hannibal Smith and Mr. T and whatever.
Sure.
I loved at the end where he'd always say, I love it when a plan comes together. I love that. When you come in and you have a strategic plan of what, this is my goal. I want to run this. This is what I'm going to do to run it. And when we do your research and you figure things out and you constantly work on what your keys are, what you're going to do to achieve it, and then you do it, man, Tom, that, you know, it's fun. Just to give an example, the decathlete I work with there at BYU, 10 events, and he's got 3 cues, meaning his points of focus for every 10 events. And he has taken years, we've worked through this for years, to constantly purify and refine what that plan is of what he's going to do. And it's so fun. I love that. To me, that's the research. That's the fun part, is helping people figure out what is their plan of action. And it's always unique to the individual. There's no perfect system there. It's unique to the individual, is figuring out what is the exact cues for each individual. We do it, we go and perform, we come back, we evaluate, and we just keep evolving. You just keep evolving to really get to the point. I would love to get you inside the office behind closed doors sometimes, and you can see the science behind it and how dialed in these athletes can get. It's just really fun.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, you have a really good job that you're able to positively affect and make these get people stronger. But last thought before we go, I know that Kyle and Shay are coming up on their first anniversary. I just read about it, I guess, in researching last night, the 18th. They got married last year, 18th of June, so that's coming up. And she talks about, I guess, there's a rematch coming on the beach because apparently he thinks he can beat her in a short burst. He doesn't want to go 800 meters, but he'll go maybe 60 yards or something. And apparently can you imagine those two together battling? Would there be trash talk? I guess I got to ask that.
Yeah, there would be. And that's interesting. He's even putting that out there. I don't know if that's a wise decision. He'll probably give me some trash talk over that. But, man, you know, these two, he's a phenomenal athlete. But I don't know if he's the best athlete in that family.
That's crazy.
If he hears me saying that, he'll get on me. But, man, yeah, he's a phenomenal athlete. And his wife is maybe as good, if
that's
not
unbelievable.
Better. He is that good. Yeah, she's phenomenal, too. That's fun.
Well, that's part of the reward you get for doing your job so well. Great visiting with you. Thank you so much. Look forward to it. I'll see you in a little while. I'm going to go down and have a little lunch with you. You're going to show me, a good spot down there. We'll see you in a couple hours. Looking forward to that. Dr. Craig Manning joining us again with another round of just what he brings. Mental strength coach extraordinaire, BYU professor of sports psychology. You can hit all that he does right there at www.thefearlessmind.com and thefearlessmind.guru. Craig, look forward to seeing you later today. Keep up the good work. Thanks for joining us here on The Morning Drive.
Thanks, Tom. Appreciate it. We'll see you later.
Yep.